And that's why, you know, we take, you and I, you know, we've done so many trainings for young people. Mm-hmm. We've done them at Cheney. Mm-hmm. We've done them at Lincoln. We've done them, you know, just anywhere we could find young people, you know, all over the city, all over the state. And we do them all over the nation. And I'm telling you, the return is brilliant.
It's
brilliant.
It's just fun. These young people, all they need is a little bit of attention.
Right, and some support.
And some support.
Invest in young people, folks. Talk about
right
what
thing.
They don't do. Invest
they're
in
young.
Them.
They're young. They're not going
to
do
like
if they
you
have
used
no
to
one.
Be. Come on now.
They don't know.
Right.
They're young. So
right.
By definition, they don't know.
Right.
All right? So we've got to teach them. We've got to.
Right.
Support them. We've got to guide
them.
We've got to invest in them.
And listen to them. Let them do their leadership because they have amazing leadership also. You know, Daryl, as we are, you know, at this point, I'm just thinking, I'm so proud of Commissioner Sevier because he just put out an announcement that he's having a press conference today, and they're announcing an emergency absentee ballot process. Because a lot of people who, you know, are finding themselves in unexpected circumstances, and he wants people to know that there's going to be an emergency absentee ballot process all the way up until on the day of election.
Okay.
So that if somebody who hasn't been able to early vote, somebody who, you know, thought that they were going to be able to early vote, thought they were going to be able to vote on the 5th, but can't, they can do an emergency absentee ballot.
Yep.
That's amazing.
That's good stuff.
That's
and
amazing.
And the fact that he's added into the mix of everything else that he's doing.
Yeah.
You know, adding these new conversations, adding these new services and what have you, totally compliant with the law.
Yeah.
Not violating anything with the law, no matter what some folks are going to try to say.
You know they are.
You know.
You know, but they said that about everything.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Everything.
You know. You know, I got to give their office up.
Yeah.
They have, and I know this, they prepared a detailed program effort for anything that could come their way.
Oh, wow.
So they spent months, if not years, just kind of learning from the 2020 experience.
Yes.
Just kind of playing out every different scenario that could come up.
So Senator Hughes, around the country, mm-hmm. you know, we already talked about something that applies to every state. You got to sign your absentee ballot, folks. Come on now. And you got to date it. Mm-hmm. I don't know of any state where that's not required. Here in Pennsylvania, you got this extra step with this security envelope. Mm-hmm. What is that?
It's so you fill out the ballot, you put it in this, and I think now it's yellow.
Yeah.
All right. Put it in the yellow security envelope. And then you put it in the return envelope, to add an extra level of security or comfort, depending upon
privacy,
how you want to look at privacy,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So that folks have some level of confidence that it was not tampered with.
Got it.
And so, you know, maybe it's too much, maybe it's not enough, but you know what?
Got to do it.
You got to do it. It's
right.
The law, all right?
Here in Pennsylvania.
Here in Pennsylvania. And so go ahead and do it, all right?
All right.
You know, if you're going to complain about anything, that ain't the thing to complain about.
And yesterday, as of yesterday, when I was reading, and it was stats from the day before, you know, from the Sunday stats, over 42 million people had already voted
early
in this country.
Okay, all right.
That's 27% of the electorate.
Okay.
And that's, you know, so important. So we want to say to people listening throughout this country, early vote. But, Daryl, you have something you love to say. Come on now about planning that vote. Go ahead.
Absolutely. It's so important, Barbara, that people plan your vote. You know, you've got to plan your vote and then vote your plan. And when I say plan your vote, what we mean by that is, how are you going to vote? Are you going to do it by absentee ballot? If you're going to do it by absentee ballot, are you going to mail it? Or are you going to take it to a drop box if that's an option for you? But you have to really plan out how you're going to vote. You've got to make this plan. When do I vote? What time do I vote? Where do I vote? If you're waiting till Election Day, you want to be certain that you first go to vote.org. vote.org and see if your polling places change. You know, are you still on the voter polls? So you need to go to vote.org to get started. But then you got to make that plan. Understand if you're going to do a drop box, if you're going to do it by mail, or if you're going to do it in person. If you're going to do it by mail and making that plan, be certain you give yourself sufficient time, because in many states, if the ballot doesn't make it by Election Day, it may not be counted, or a couple of days after Election Day. So know what the rule is in your state with regards to that if you're going to mail it, and give yourself sufficient time to get it into mail and for the mail to make it to the Board of Elections, Barbara.
And I want to stress that in this final stretch time, folks, if you don't have your mail-in ballot by Wednesday, you better be scrambling to an early voting center. Come on now.
Yeah.
Don't waste your ballot because you want to make sure that your vote counts. Please, people, you know what the USPS is like.
Yeah.
You know that they're not, you know, the fastest. And we've seen maniacs now burning mailboxes. Maniacs, these anti-democracy forces. So it's so important, folks. You know, we're in the final stretch. What else do people need to know and do in these next 7 days?
I would suggest to everybody listening, whether you're in Pennsylvania, no matter where you are, that you kind of make a record and document when you picked up your absentee ballot, vote by mail ballot, whatever you want to call it, when you filled it out, when you submitted it.
Yeah.
Okay. In case there's any shenanigans that may occur. Like the stuff with the two post office boxes that were set aflame, okay? To help document that you, in fact, did try to vote and submit your ballot, all right? So you have that as part of your record. Now, I'm no lawyer, but, you know, y'all are lawyers, all right?
Yeah.
You know that added piece of information is only helpful, okay, in terms of whether you have to wind up evidence, whether you have to wind up in a legal issue about your vote.
Yeah.
So just make a mental note. Take a picture.
Right. Of your ballot.
Of your ballot. All right.
And I can tell people, because this happened before in Arizona where they burned up some ballots. And you know that, and when I say before, in 2022. So what people were required to do there is that if you knew that you had submitted a ballot in that mailbox, that drop box, whatever, they was mailboxes that they set fire to. If you knew that you did it, then you had to go to call the supervisor of elections, the board of elections, and you had to tell them, my ballot was in that box.
Okay.
And they were able to give people emergency
ballots.
Replacement ballots.
Okay. Right.
And that's what they did. But people have to, again, you know, so much of this is on the voter.
Mm-hmm.
The voter has to, you know, exercise their power, their vigilance. And the other thing I want to say to people, because this is really important, and Karen, I know you know this one, and Daryl did it the other day. Okay, and Daryl did it the other day. I was so proud of him. When we were in Savannah, a man came up to Daryl, and Reverend Jackson loves to talk about this, but this happened to Daryl himself. Come on, Daryl, tell people the story of the man who needed your assistance.
Oh, yeah, Barbara. You know, we were in Savannah at the early voting site there, and the gentleman, elderly gentleman, was on a walker, with a cane, and had difficulty with mobility. And it looked like he's carrying much of his belongings with him. And he walked up. And so we were just talking in general and just encouraging him, letting him know that, you know, he could make it. He's walking along a long sidewalk to the polling place. And he turned and said to me, well, you know, I'm going to need help voting. And so I assured them that they would be providing him whatever assistance that he would need, not knowing exactly what he needed. He said, no, I can't read very well, and I want you to come into the poll with me to help me, to read to me so I know what I'm voting for. And as we went in, Barbara, you know, and this is the first time I had never met a day in my life other than that 5-minute conversation we had walking up the sidewalk.
Yeah.
And the election officials initially were hesitant, but then, you know, I reminded them of the Voting Rights Act and what Reverend Jackson had implemented with regards to having whoever you need to help you in the polling place.
That's right.
So we were able to do that. We were able to help that gentleman, understand the written parts, the constitutional parts and amendments and things like that that were on his ballot. But, you know, Barbara, we raise that to remind people that, you know, if there's someone who needs assistance, they have the ability, they have the right to have whoever they want to have with them in that polling booth, in that voting booth, to be able to assist them in casting their ballot.
Amen. And I want people to really take that to heart, mm-hmm. because so many people can't read and write. Mm-hmm. There is illiteracy in our country, and these ballots are complicated, mm-hmm. and they're long sometimes, and people need help. And also, some people don't have any dexterity. They can't use their hands any longer very well. And so if you have a need, people, for somebody to assist you in the ballot box, because even if it's just that you don't want to get confused, you want to make sure that you're doing the right thing, selecting the right bubble, whatever, to vote on, make sure that you take somebody with you. You have the right. It's called Section 208. Write that down. Section 208 of the Voting Rights Act of 1965. That act, as amended, accords you the right to take in somebody to assist you in voting. Don't let somebody tell you that you can't do that because they're violating the law. And anybody who violates the law, anybody who creates a barrier or an obstacle to your voting, you know that you have to call 1-866-OUR-VOTE. 1-866-OUR-VOTE. And get help, because we've been suing these states that have tried to make it hard for people to get assistance, and we won every single case.
Every time.
Every single case we won. You have that right, people. I don't want you to be stranded. We're here to help, like those seniors.
Yep. Yep.
We want to make sure everybody is able to vote. We've been joined by an incredible person who has joined us. It's not Tanya Clay House. And Tanya, just want to say a quick word about this survey that a whole lot of Black organizations got together and did on the vote. And can you just tell us a little bit about some of the top lines that people need to know?
Well, thank you so much, Barbara. It's always a pleasure to be able to join you. And thank you for all the good work that you and Daryl are doing. And I really appreciate that story you gave, Daryl, because I actually had to tell somebody the same thing at the polling place when I voted. So, we are, as you are a part of this, the Transformative Justice Coalition is a part of this coalition. We're working with the African American Policy Forum and a number of organizations, including Higher Heights, the NAACP, the National Urban League, the Coalition on Black Civic Participation, the Georgia Alumni of Delta Sigma Theta, Black Women's Roundtable, National Council on Negro Women. All these groups have come together in order to put, we had put together a survey that was conducted by HIT Strategies to talk about race-forward messaging. And what that is just saying, look, we can't ignore the fact that race exists in our society. We still have structural racism. And the whole point of this survey was to prove that if you actually have a conversation with people about what's happening and about racial issues, particularly on Project 2025, and speak about it from a race-forward context, will that actually motivate people to go to the polling place? And you know what we found? Yes, it does. And so wasn't a shock to us, but we did find that. And the top lines are that, you know, essentially that people believe that, you know, race-forward messaging really does, is necessary for political leaders to be speaking about, and that overwhelmingly they prefer that we actually speak about this, how it impacts us in our schools, education, how it impacts us, the criminal justice system, that they don't believe that leaders are doing enough and that we actually have to highlight that. And so as a result, I mean, these are that, those are a few things. I mean, it also motivates, as I said, people to, you know, to go to the polling place and for them to really speak about. The survey indicates that if you characterize, when we talk about Project 2025, which I